How's everybody this morning? All right, if you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for choosing to be here to worship with us. We are so glad that you are here, and hopefully when you came in, you received a bulletin. Hopefully everyone else did too. If you have a bulletin, open it up. Let's kind of take a look at some of the things that are going on around here. Wednesday, New Year's Eve, we have our annual New Year's Eve party here at church. Woo-hoo. We're going to start at 6:30. We're going to have snacks, or you bring snacks. We'll have beverages available for you. We're going to play a couple group games, and then you can stay, play some table games. You can come and go as you want. But if you're the last ones to leave, just turn out the lights, okay? All right? And we'll make sure the doors are locked so you won't have to worry about that. But it's a great time. And if you're going to come and join us, if you have a card table, could you just bring that with you so that we just make sure that we have enough tables available for everybody that's going to be here? And so it's just going to be a great time. I hope that you'll come. And this is a family time. So, kids, you're invited to be able to come and join us as well for that. All right. Then on Saturday at 8 a.m., men, we have men's breakfast here at the church. So Brian and William have said they'll be here to cook. So we'll have food. So we won't show up for nothing. So that'll be good. I don't know what's on the menu, but I'm pretty sure it'll be bacon. Right, William? Of course. Okay. All right. I like that answer. That is great. All right. As you can see, today we're going to be observing communion. That means during our time, we're going to, for the offering, we're going to also receive an offering for the Benevolent Fund. Most of you know how that works. If you have any questions about that, see me after the service, and I'll be able to answer those for you. We have copies of the 2026 budget that were approved last week at our church family meeting after the morning service. They're on the information table. If you'd like to take one of those, that would be great. We have brochures for the 2026 camping season at Shiloh Bible Camp. There should be enough for one of those brochures per family. There's also an end-of-the-year recap for 2025 from Shiloh. Those are on the table, I believe, underneath the pictures of the leadership team. So if you want some of those, pick those up. Also, my alma mater, Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, sent us some Bible reading schedules for starting in on January 1st, and they are on the information table. So if you need a Bible reading schedule, would like to have a Bible reading schedule, just so that you can read it, maybe not to read through the Bible through the whole year, but just to have some kind of a plan to be able to do that, they are available for you as well. Church family dinner coming up in just a couple of weeks. Are you kidding me? All right. Okay, and it's going to be on January 11th, and it's going to be soup and sandwiches, and there's a sign-up sheet on the information table to help bring food. So make sure as you're stopping by the information table for the brochures, as well as for the Bible reading schedules, as well as the approved budget, make sure that you just sign your name to be able to help bring food for the church family dinner. Lots of other information in the bulletin. That's why it's important for every one of you to be able to have one of those. Well, did you have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Good, good. All right, we did too as a family. And so we were just so blessed to be able to be together. And I'm sure that whoever you were together with, you were blessed to be able to be together with them. But now we've come here today to be able to praise and worship the one that Christmas is all about, right? Remember last week we talked about the heart of Christmas is Jesus. And every day, every Sunday, we need to be worshiping Jesus, right? Because he's the heart. He's the heart of what we do here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And so again, so grateful that all of you are here. Let's worship. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go worship, team.
Would you all stand with me as we start with "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God"?
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood, of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. On earth is not his ease. Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sided. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. As we celebrate this last Sunday of the year, let's go out worshiping, amen? Let's go out worshiping our great God as we go into this new year. We're taking with us that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords, that mighty fortress. Let's praise Him.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, on your throne, you are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable, and that's what you are. You're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you're unstoppable, and that's what you are. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. And that's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable, and that's what you are. You are God alone. I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how He loves me. I've got a friend. He is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. And all my testify, hallelujah, His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. Oh, this is our hope. The cross it has spoken. And death is no more. Christ is the Lord. Oh, this is our hope.
Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you did, what you're doing. Lord, we love you. And we're here to worship you today and praise you. Recognize who you really are, who you truly are, as our King of Kings, as our Lord of Lords. Lord, may we choose you. Day after day, every day, to walk with you, to live with you. As we go into this next year, Lord, help us to shed off the things that weigh us down, the sin that holds us back, Lord, and to run with you. Lord, we love you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing a new song for you. Its theme is all about what I just said, which is let's center our lives on Jesus. Let's run hard with him.
Turn my eyes to see you, Jesus, in all your glory. Turn my eyes to my heart to sing and wonder of how you love me. Tune my heart, oh my God, forever you reign. Here and now, hear the sound of your name, Jesus. There is none more beautiful than Jesus. There is none more powerful, the risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified. Center my life on center my life on your name. Turn my eyes away from searching for lesser glory. Turn my eyes and teach my heart with all your wisdom to live for heaven. Teach my heart, oh my God, forever you reign. Here and now, hear the sound of your name, Jesus. Center my life on your name. Oh, center my life on your name. Oh, my God, forever you reign. Here and now, hear the sound of your name. Jesus, there is none more beautiful than Jesus. There is none more powerful, the risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified, the risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified, Jesus. There is none more beautiful than Jesus. There is none more powerful, the risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified, center my life on your name. Center my life on your name.
Thank you, worship team. Well, that song was pretty fitting, right? For the last Sunday of an old year, and helping us to look forward to what God has in store for us for a coming year. So that was so good. Thank you, Jared and worship team. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off to Children's Church. I'm looking out there so that you're not the Lone Ranger, but I guess you're the Lone Ranger today. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of just singing praises to you. Father, for using these songs to remind us of how much you have done for us and how meaningful our lives are as a result of your interaction into our lives. And Father, now as we gather to be able to hear your word, Father, I just pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to what you have in store for us this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. All right, while he's being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 17. So when I showed up early this week in the office, I had a whole message that I was going to just put some of the finishing touches on, a New Year's message that I'd kind of had sitting off to the side for some time. And as I began to work on that, God said, yeah, nope. So I had to start all over again. But I'd been reading some chapters in the book of Proverbs, and I came to the chapter 17, and I came to this verse 24. And as soon as I read this verse, it dawned on me what an appropriate verse this could be for a New Year's message. And so I opened up my Bible to Proverbs chapter 17, and I read verse 24 probably 15 different times, and God just said, this is the verse. So if you don't like the message this morning, don't blame me. Yeah, take it up with the Holy Spirit, okay? So I've entitled it Hope for the New Year, which was the old title of the message that we discarded, and just decided that it would fit in very well with this message from Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24. So in a few short days, at 11:59 p.m., there are going to be people that are going to be turning on their television sets, and they're going to be gathering in downtown Boise to watch the potato drop. Okay. But in a few short days at 11:59 p.m., over 1 billion people throughout the world will be watching as the ball drops in New York City's Times Square. And that got me interested in the history of the New Year's Eve ball. And what I learned was fascinating. The first time ball was installed and dropped from the top of England's Royal Observatory in Greenwich in 1833. After the success of that event, around 155 such time balls were installed around the world, but only a few of them survived and still work. And this tradition is carried on today in places like the United States Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., where a time ball descends from a flagpole at noon every day. How many of you knew that? I didn't know that. Okay. And of course, once a year in Times Square, where it marks the new year at the stroke of midnight. The New York celebration began in 1904, but it was not until 1907 that they dropped an iron and wood ball adorned with 25-watt light bulbs. It was 5 feet in diameter and weighed 700 pounds. From 1907 until today, the ball is dropped every year except 1942 and 1943 during the New York City's World War II demos. Well, crowds still gathered in Times Square during those years and greeted the new year with a moment of silence, followed by chimes ringing out throughout Times Square. Throughout the years, the time ball has experienced four redesigns. The most recent one was created for the recent millennial celebration in the year 2000 by Waterford Crystal. It is a geodesic spear, 6 feet in diameter and weighing about 1,070 pounds. It is covered with a total of 504 crystal triangles that vary in size. And each of those triangles has a special designation: hope for fellowship, hope for peace, hope for wisdom, hope for unity, hope for courage, hope for healing. And the name of the ball itself is the Star of Hope. Now, why is it called the Star of Hope? Because every new year is a time for hope. It is a time for opportunity. Is it a time for each one of us to grasp the best that God has for us? Hopefully by now you've found Proverbs chapter 17. Follow along as I read verse 24. This discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Let me read that again. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. This verse teaches us, I believe, that we can have hope for this coming new year. And the hope for this new year does not depend on us. And this hope doesn't lie in wishing upon a star, which is what those triangles on the Star of Hope is all about. The hope for fellowship, peace, wisdom, unity, courage, and so on are not based upon earthly schemes or promises, but upon the reality of godly wisdom. Here in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24 says, the wise person has a bright future waiting for them because they keep their eyes where? On wisdom. By contrast, the foolish person has their eyes on something else. Their eyes are on the things of the earth. So how can we become like the wise person? This new year, how can we get the best that God wants to give us? Well, I think first we need to look at the foolish person. And it says to us what? The eyes of the fool are on where? The ends of the earth. Now this verse interested me because I can visualize this foolish person. I remember hearing a story once about a woman who was picking strawberries in a strawberry patch. She would no sooner pick one, and then she'd look up and see another strawberry a couple of rows away, and off she'd run to pick that berry. Then she'd look up and see another berry a few plants away, and off she'd go again and again all over the patch. And by doing this, she filled one bucket At the same time, a normal person would fill 10 buckets. Her eyes were always wandering across the field, looking for the easiest berries to find. This is what the foolish person is like. They're always looking for the easiest berry in the patch. They're always seeking an easy way to get ahead in life. They're always investing in the future by buying lottery tickets. They can't seem to stay married because no person is ever good enough. They can't keep a job because no job is good enough. They can't stay in one church because no church is good enough. There's always a rainbow waiting for them just over the next hill. Their eyes wander constantly to the ends of the earth. They are constantly comparing themselves to others, and their families to others, and their jobs to others, and their potential to others. Comparing, comparing, comparing their lives to something else or to someone else. And they are never satisfied. They're just like the woman who hurried from bush to bush in the strawberry patch. They're constantly running away from every aspect of their lives. They are always hoping that the next ring they grab will be the brass ring. And in the end, they have done less with their lives than they could have. Not a very good way to experience hope for the future. Let's look at the wise person. Because by contrast, the wise person has two advantages over the fool. Let's look at the first advantage. Advantage number one, they are focused. What does Proverbs 17:24 say? The discerning sets his face towards wisdom. The wise person isn't running all over the place looking for an easy way to live their life. They realize that the only way to achieve success in life is to seek godly wisdom. There's a really good example of this in a person named Solomon. Y'all remember him? He was a wise king of Israel. He was the writer of the book of Proverbs under the direction of God's Spirit. Solomon was once asked by God to name the one thing he wanted as he was getting ready to assume the leadership as king over Israel. And when Solomon asked for wisdom, this is how God responded. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it says, "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this." Asked what? For wisdom. "And God said to him, 'Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you.'" Solomon had heard the stories of the past kings of Israel. Solomon had lived in the palace because his father was a king of Israel, his father being David. He knew what being a king was all about. He knew what needed to be able to be in his life in order for him to be a king. He could have asked for anything. God said, "Whatever it is you want, I will do." And he asked for what? Wisdom. Too many people believe that if they only had power, wealth, influence, they would be happy. And they struggle in their lives to get those things. But they do not have the wisdom to know what they already have. And so they're never satisfied with what they do have. What does Proverbs 17 tell us? The discerning sets his face towards wisdom. Here's the second advantage that the person of wisdom has. They know where to go for wisdom. Where did Solomon go to get his wisdom? He asked God. Why? Because wisdom comes from God. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." There are other places where we can look for knowledge and information, and those places may seem to be logical, but any source other than God will eventually lead to contradictory advice. Let me say that again. But any source that we're trying to find wisdom in other than God will eventually lead to contradictory advice because it will be based upon what? Earthly experience. For example, here are some examples of earthly wisdom. You might have heard of some of these before. Look before you leap. But he who hesitates is lost. Many hands make light work, but too many cooks spoil the broth. Clothes make the man, but we shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, but it's better to be safe than sorry. You get the idea? If at first you don't succeed, try again, but don't beat a dead horse. If you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. But if you can't beat them, join them. You notice the wisdom of earth has weaknesses because earthly wisdom is always based solely upon what mortal men and women can experience and observe. And because of this, our experiences will always be limited. And our observations will only be able to see so much. It's like a man wanting to see as far as he can, so he climbs a high mountain. But no matter how high the mountain, he can still only see so far. He will always be limited by his own eyesight and the edge of the horizon. But by contrast, the wisdom of God comes from above. There are no limits to his vision. There are no boundaries to what he can see. He knows the beginning from the end. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose. When we look to God for his wisdom in our lives, we are not only better off than the fool, we are also better off than anyone else. Because we have an advantage other people do not have. We have access to the wisdom of God in our lives. And we show that we have the wisdom of God when we do what he has instructed us to do in his word. Not in earthly wisdom, not in fables, not in folktales, not in earthly proverbs, but in the wisdom of God. And everything that God wants us to be able to know about himself, everything that God wants us to be able to know about his purpose and plan, especially for his redemption, he's given to us in his word. You want to be a wise person? Be a person of his word. You want to be a wise person? Read his word. Study his word. Think about his word. And then live out his word in your life. That's why it's so important to keep exposing ourselves to his wisdom found in the Bible. You want to get into the Bible every day? There's reading plans out on the information table that will help you to be able to do that. Now, let me say this. If you decide that you're going to take one of those reading Bible plans and you're going to start on January 1st reading and you get to be about January 15th and you've fallen behind, don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Just keep going. Go back. Pick up where you've left off. Even if you're a couple days behind, it's okay. Be a person that wants to be a part, wants to get into the Word of God so that you can discern what is God's wisdom because he's given it to us. It's all right here. So here are the ways to enjoy the hope for this new year. Know God's wisdom. Get into his word. Live God's wisdom. Don't just take it in. Let it be lived out in your life. May it be lived out in my life. May it be lived out in the life of us as a church. Now, 2026 offers great hope for us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. This will be the year we celebrate the 50th anniversary of our church. And it's going to be the weekend of September 11th, 12th, and 13th. I hope you all have that on your calendar. If not, don't wait too long to be able to put it. Although, we're going to be reminding you over and over and over again that uh, this is This is something we're going to, our church is going to be about. And what a special year this is going to be. And the theme is going to be generations of faith. Now, 50 years is a significant success story for the ongoing ministry of a church. Those 50 years represents many challenges and many blessings. Over these 50 years, we've had many individuals and families, generations, if you will, who were dedicated to the mission and ministry of Lake Hazel Bible Church. Generations who were impacted by the ministry of this church. And prayerfully, we'll see some of those at our anniversary celebration in September. Now, as pastor, I am thankful for those of you who are currently part of the LHBC church family and the blessing that you are. God is using you in various ways to continue the ongoing ministry of this special place. So let us all enjoy all that God has for us in this new year. Now, it's fitting that we can end an outgoing year with the celebration of communion. And as a church, we have so much to remember, and that's what this year is going to be about, as long as God gives us the time to be able to do that. We have no idea that we'll even make it to September. Jesus could come. He could come before this year is over. He could come right at the beginning of the next year, and that would be okay. Amen? Let's not go around saying, well, no, he can't come till after September. No, he can come. But if he hasn't, and September gets here, guess what? We're going to be celebrating 50 years of the blessing that God has used Lake Hazel Bible Church to be in the lives of people, in the lives of our community around us. As a church, we have so much to remember. And as believers, we have so much to remember also. Jesus gave us the celebration of communion to remember what he has done for us through what he did on the cross for us. What began in a simple stable led to death on the cross by the suffering Savior, capped off by the empty tomb, which leads all who believe to eternal life and our eternal home in God's presence. This is what we need to remember in this new year. Now, let me just remind you as we get ready to celebrate communion together, that if you are here this morning, you don't have to be a regular attender to be able to join us in this celebration of communion. You just have to believe that Jesus is your Savior. I'm going to ask the men to come and to join me at the table.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the sea. More abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more at dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Let us remember Jesus.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. 'Cause your glory is so beautiful, I fall onto my knees in awe, and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. My life is yours. My hope is in you only, and my heart you hold. You made this sinner holy and holy, holy. Your glory is so beautiful, I fall into my knees. Heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light, 'cause your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. Jesus, you are good. Glory, glory, alleluia. Jesus, you are good. Glory, glory, alleluia. Jesus, you are good.
Let us remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for our final song? Just sing about God's glory. To him be all glory and all honor and praise. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Yes, give him the glory, great things he has done.